Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Matthew 3, 1 to 12, and this is taken from the Message. While Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John called the baptizer, was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. John and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy. Thunder in the desert, prepare for God's arrival, make the road smooth and straight. John dressed in a camel hair habit, tied at the waist by a leather strap. He lived on a diet of locusts and wild field honey. People poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordanian hillside to hear and see him in action. There at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life. When John realized that a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do, he exploded. Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and flourishing? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. This is the reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Savior God, guide us by your word and spirit that we might hear your truth, heed your call, and be prepared for Christ's birth this Christmas. Amen. So I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with something on the internet called clickbait. It's when you come across an article and there's this really especially captivating headline, and it makes you really want to click on that link and read it and hear all about it. But when you do click, you find that the article is nothing like what the headline or the picture shows. I find it happens a lot with recipes. It'll say something like, your family will love this delicious one-pot meal with only 3 ingredients. And when you get to the article, it's filled with advertisements and a long, drawn-out story about the author and their family and a semi-funny anecdote about their childhood gerbil and like how they learned to ride a unicycle. I don't know. Finally, at the very end, there's a list of ingredients that is most certainly longer than 3. And the dish takes at least 1.5 hours to prepare, and that's, you know, including all of the, you know, chopping and just things like that. And it also requires several specialized kitchen gadgets. Ultimately, the recipe is usually worth it, but it took a lot longer to get there than anticipated. It's kind of like what John the Baptist was doing. It's also kind of like this sermon. I'll give you a little spoiler, though. There is one thing you can do to change your life for the better. But it is not easy, and it is not quick. It's actually pretty complicated. And you're going to have to come back to this one step over and over and over again. But And again, those things in life that are worth it are rarely quick or easy. Perhaps you noticed that we read the Message version of the Bible this morning. It's not linguistically accurate. That translation is more of a paraphrase. But it still gets to the point. It's still honest and faithful to the gospel. And I think that looking at a different version of scriptures really helps us avoid getting too familiar with a passage. And I think that the Message does a good job here showing us the heart of what John the Baptist was getting at. Basically, John the Baptist is telling people to come to him, that the kingdom of God is near. And because the kingdom of God is near, we have to change the way we live. We can't just rely on our ancestry. We have to make real, lasting changes to make our lives flourish. He proposed baptism in the Jordan River as a symbol of this new beginning. But there was and is much, much more involved. Also, that's the Jordan River. I don't know how many of you want to go in there and feel like you came out clean. I don't. But that's out on the margins where John lived. John lived on the margins. And what's interesting is that in the ancient world, power was like concentrated in these center cities. They had their temples and the imperial buildings. It's where taxes were collected. It's where people who lived on the outskirts would come in order to get the things that they wanted. To have anything done, you had to go travel into the center of the city. But John was outside in the countryside, in the wilderness, and people were traveling from the city out to him. John eats the food of the poor, locusts, any wild honey that he happens to find around. He wears clothing of the poor, a common camel's hair tunic. He doesn't have connections of power, unless, of course, you consider his cousin Jesus. He's not a high priest. And yet, he spends his time baptizing people who confess their sins. And that's a redemptive activity that is usually reserved for the temple and for the high priests. You can see that he's probably stepping on a few toes here, causing some animosity and strife. Was baptism in the Jordan the life-changing activity? Was going into that really gross water and coming out, was that what changed your life? I mean, there were, and there still are, plenty of ritual washings in the Jewish community. Those types of practice probably influenced John on some level. But what he was offering was a once and for all baptism. Was it the confessing of sins that made people's lives better? Perhaps. I mean, at the very least, when we confess our sins, we recognize how we contribute to strife and that we are our own worst enemies. Eventually, the Pharisees and the Sadducees catch wind of all the people heading out to the Jordan in the wilderness, and they wanted to check this out. The fact that John might have been seen as a threat to their priestly powers might have had something to do with it too. Because if people wanted to go see John instead of going to the temple for baptism, they wouldn't be needed anymore. John is one step ahead of them. He strikes before they do. He calls them a brood of vipers. This isn't just an insult, but a description of the priests as predatory, poisonous, false teachers. And John tells them and us, you can't just get a little bit of water on you and think you're saved. And the fact that they're descendants of Abraham, that's not going to help them either. They have to make real, continuous changes to how they live. And we've got to do it soon. Traditionally, in the Christian community, Advent is a time of preparation. We're setting aside this time to consider the full significance of what God has done for us in Jesus. It's a practice that, quite honestly, stands in tension with our culture. In our consumer society, preparing for Christmas means shopping, hanging lights, shopping, listening to cheery music, shopping. All of that in an effort to satisfy our own ideals and longings. We're not envisioning the promises of God. John calls the people of Israel, and we are also called to an entirely different type of preparation. The promises of God that are coming to fulfillment in Christ, that should compel us to confess our sins, to examine ourselves, and ask, am I really bearing good fruit? And if we're not, honestly, none of us are bearing good fruit all of the time. If we're not bearing good fruit, we need to repent. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what does repentance mean? Is it just feeling sorry for our mistakes? Because I do. I feel real bad about my mistakes. Keeps me up until 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about that thing that I said when I was in third grade. Is it trying to be a better person? I don't know. I try real hard to do that too. John and Advent remind us that repentance isn't about our standards of moral worthiness, but about God's desire to realign us with Christ's life. Repentance isn't about guilt. It's about God's power to transform us, to change us into Christ's image. So yes, you can change your life in one step. Repentance. But that step is hardly easy. Repentance is going back to look. That repentance is, and that going back is that's going to look a lot different for each one of us. And none of us can do it through our own efforts. But thankfully, we have a God who loves us so much that we are given Christ. A Christ that we can trust is working to purify us and the whole world to become a dwelling place fit for himself. Thanks be to God. Amen.